Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, recording in Sydney at the offices of Palo Alto Networks. In fact, it's a beautiful view if you ever get up to Palo Alto Networks here in North Sydney. And joined by Mauricio Sabina, the Systems Engineer Manager for the ANZ region at Palo Alto Networks. Mauricio, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
I understand you're known in the office as Mo, so we'll call you from Mo, mm-hmm. Hey? And those in the industry will recognise your voice, I'm sure. We're going to talk about data science and data science as a threat prevention tool in cybersecurity. This follows an article or a release from Palo Alto Networks a week or so ago. It's on the Australian Cybersecurity Magazine. So obviously from a data science perspective in cybersecurity as a threat prevention tool, there's a range of different approaches and methodologies and also the architecture and tools that are being used. You're the expert. Maybe give us an introduction, maybe a background to yourself, and we'll dive into data science and threat prevention.
Perfect. Thank you, Chris. So I've been in the industry in cybersecurity for quite a few years already. I did probably 10 years as a customer, managing different systems and a bit of architectural work before I joined the vendor side to focus on pre-sales. For quite a few years as a system engineer,
yep.
To then become the system engineer manager for ANZ North. So it's been a privilege to work in this industry. It's a place where you're always going to have a job.
Yep.
It's been doing very well. So when it comes to data science, it's been in use for quite a few years already to improve businesses in general,
yep.
To get more intelligence around their customers' strategies. But in the last couple of years, there's been a lot more focus on how do we leverage this for threat prevention. We know that the current way that most customers are doing things around cybersecurity is not enough, and we need to leverage this data science, or you can call it machine learning, artificial intelligence, to improve the threat prevention. Now, there are a few key things that we need to focus and pay attention to be able to deliver this the right way, to actually make it successful. We don't want to embark in a journey that we know we are not going to be able to...
You can start to create false positives, right, if you go down the wrong path?
Correct. It's not just around false positives. You can run out of resources. You can, for example, if you don't have the right amount of data and the quality data, yeah. You can say, well, I have all this information about IPs and ports and things that are not that relevant in the end when it comes to threat prevention. So you can fill out terabytes and terabytes of storage with that.
And that's going to cost you money, right?
It's going to cost you a lot of money to run.
Yeah.
And you're going to get really frustrated because you're going to realize all of a sudden, 2 years after you spend all this money, you didn't get any useful information. So it is always important to first focus on the right amount of data. And when I say amount, it's not only the days that you're going to have it, it's where it comes from. So you have data that comes from your network devices, data that comes from your endpoints, data that comes from the cloud. And it has to be quality data.
Yeah.
It has to be rich. Having IPs and machine names and all that is not that relevant if you don't understand what the applications are, what the data is inside.
Should you be starting from the end result, like what you actually want to achieve or what the vision is from a data science program, and then work back? You know, is it a pattern recognition project, or is it a machine learning project, or is it a bit of both? This will either assist in the SOC or as a SIEM, right?
So in the end, whatever is your goal around cybersecurity, they're all going to need good amount of data and quality data.
Yeah.
So
you start there.
Yes, regardless of what your end goal is. Now, of course, for different goals, you might need a little bit extra data here or there. But always the more data you can get, the better.
Yeah.
Eventually, it will be useful.
We keep coming back to, from wherever I go, I keep hearing, understand what data you've got first before you do anything, really. Even from any approach, it's understanding what you've got on hand.
Yeah. Of course. Understand what you have and see if that is useful or if you need to find new ways of doing it.
And in a data science approach, we're talking structured and unstructured data. Are you able to work with both in threat prevention?
Yes. Both are useful. They're going to have different goals in mind, the different algorithms and on both cases.
Yeah.
But both can be used for threat prevention.
Do you find either works particularly better or, again, do they work hand in hand?
It will depend on the amount of data that you have.
Yeah.
Unstructured, you'll need a lot of information about what is good and what is bad.
Yeah.
Some people think that having good amount and good quality data is about knowing about a lot of malware.
Yeah.
That's not the point. That's one of the things.
That's more of a threat intel tool, I imagine.
Correct.
Yeah.
But some people tend to confuse that. And you definitely need to know about all this new malware. But you also need to know about what is normal.
Yes.
Because if you don't understand what is normal, how can you tell what is not
abnormal?
Exactly.
Give us some examples, I suppose, of some good data sources that most organizations would probably already have.
So, for example, if you have a next-generation firewall that can tell you rich information about what applications are being used by which users, that is great data. So, for example, if your end goal is to put a user behavior analytics using data science, be it cloud or being on-site, on-premise, if you cannot understand what each users are doing and all you're seeing is as some IP addresses, it's not going to be enough. So if you have a next-generation firewall, you need to be able to turn all the logging on.
Yeah.
So in the past, I've seen many customers disabling logging and certain functionalities because of lack of performance on the device at the hand. We cannot afford that. If you want to be able to leverage data science, you need to be able to log everything.
Got it.
You need to log who the user is, what application they're using, what data they're transferring there, what type of files they have, what threats we are seeing there, what URLs, everything.
Again, you've got to be careful about how much data you're getting in terms of storage costs as well. I hear cloud can get expensive if you don't manage that.
It can, but I wouldn't start limiting the amount of data initially.
Yeah.
First, we need to focus on getting as much as we can to then make those algorithms that we're going to use more effective.
There's another in aspect to that is how much data, historical data, should you be getting in order to, rather than starting from scratch, collecting some data first so those algorithms can get to work.
It will depend on the algorithm that you're looking. If you look at something like user behavior analytics, you need at least minimum 3 weeks. I would recommend more something like around 6 weeks of data for the algorithms to understand what is normal. Now, when you're talking about collecting from multiple sources a lot of really rich information, that can become quite large, that those storage requirements and processing of that information. Because when we're looking at, we need to really understand what is the difference between storing that information for real-time usage versus what is the more historical
and data. Just logs. I mean, logs would have a relatively small footprint, I imagine, but then processing that might take some time, depending on the size of the network, I imagine.
It does take quite a bit of resources to process that, and that's why it's key to have it on the right infrastructure. And that's why we believe cloud is the right way to leverage this.
Yes.
So you're still going to have, on each customer environment, a set of sensors, and that could be, again, a next-generation file, could be an endpoint engine, could be anything that is looking at data at the customer side. You're going to have the enforcement point, because in the end, once you have all this threat intelligence and you apply all the algorithms, you want to take an action. There's no point if you're never going to take the action. So you can leverage those sensors and enforcement point on the customer, but the actual intelligence of really applying this data science has to be in the cloud.
Yeah.
Now,
it's the perfect storm that we're in at the moment, isn't it?
Exactly. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to scale.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden you have more requirements of more storage and more processing power, and what you're going to be using at every time during the day, during your week, is going to vary. So it's impossible for you to plan that locally.
Yeah.
And you're going to overinvest if you try to do that, because you need to cater for the worst day,
yep,
the worst possible scenario. So sharing this in a cloud environment among multiple customers is the best way to go.
So this is that shift that we've seen over the last couple of years, is in terms of the processing power, the storage capability, and you know, able to do that off-prem in a cloud environment.
And there's another point to that. It's not about only the storage and the processing power. It's also about being able to constantly innovate.
Yes.
And being up to date. If you need to be applying patches and new releases and new versions and new features, whatever is managed on-premises is more difficult to do.
Yeah.
It takes more time. It takes more work from a customer side. If it is in the cloud, the vendor takes care of that, and all you need to do is just consume.
What type of leverage can an organization gain? So they might be doing data science in other aspects of the business. Is it something that should be done as a sort of an enterprise-wide data science project, and having cybersecurity or a security mindset at the table as well? Or is it a bit of a, again, the traditional approach to security is off in a room on their own, not telling anybody what they're doing?
Look, that will be probably the ideal to get at some point. I think we're a little bit far from that at the moment. Our goal as a company is to have that consolidated data science approach to cybersecurity, where it covers multiple aspects of cybersecurity, multiple needs, and also from multiple vendors, so not just from us. But I think applying that to business requirements plus cybersecurity, yes, it would be ideal. And we should aim for that in the longer term. Short term, I think it would be too ambitious of a goal to set you out for failure, basically. You're going to get frustrated because the actual requirements of data from a business analytics perspective versus a cybersecurity are slightly different. There will be some overlaps.
Yeah.
But I think having initially a focus on having the right data lake with all the right information, and then having all your algorithms that relate to cybersecurity feeding of the same data is a great initial
approach. That would be ideal. That's kind of the best case. And
that's what we're aiming towards with our Cortex data lake and our Cortex infrastructure, which is basically, we leverage all our products, be it the next generation firewall, cloud services, and endpoint, to feed into these massive data lakes, and then build all the algorithms to feed off that data. And that could be our algorithms, like, for example, we have some focusing on user behavior analytics and a few others, but also from third parties. So we opened that Cortex Hub to third parties to create their own algorithms to leverage that same data, and then being able to leverage the same enforcement points that we already have to be able to take actions. So that means the customer doesn't need to focus on selecting the best algorithm and then having to deploy the sensors and enforcement point to be able to apply that one.
Yeah.
They only deploy the sensors and enforcement point once. They only feed the data into the cloud once, and then they can easily compare multiple algorithms to see which one is the best one. And that changes every year, by the way.
I can imagine that's improvements made.
It's a very new approach that is constantly changing. So you could go and do an analysis on the market to see what is the best algorithm to focus on this particular problem. And it might be company X today, but next year it's going to be company Y, and company X is probably out of business. Making a decision that involves buying hardware and deploying agents and doing massive change on your network, where typically you look at those projects more of a 3-5 years or even longer term, with data science, it's impossible, because again, what is good today might not be enough in a year. So having a common infrastructure where you have a trusted vendor taking care of gathering all the quality data, putting a data lake, and having that framework so any company can build the algorithms, makes it really easy for you to test them, because you can enable multiple at the same time and compare the results. Choose one, since it's a consumption model, next year you decide that there's another one that is better, turn off the first one, enable in the second one, and, nice. And off you go.
How many choices do they have? I imagine there's a marketplace for these algorithms, and be they machine learning or pattern recognition or a bit of both.
Yes, yeah, so the market is growing. I wouldn't know exactly the amount at the moment, but it is growing. It's a fairly new approach, to be honest. I mean, we started with this journey probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We call it the application framework at that time. We did a big investment to make sure that it could be scalable and cater for all these requirements, and we relaunched it as the Cortex Hub.
Cortex, is it?
Yes.
Cortex, right.
So that's our approach to secure the future, and again, supports a third-party application through a kind of an application store.
Yeah.
So there are already quite a few third parties there. Now, we expect this to grow quite drastically over the next couple of years.
We're taking a bit of interest in SCADA and ICS as well. Is there applications around industrial control systems and those applications as well?
Yes, there are a couple already of those. They are quite interesting how you can leverage, again, the same information that we're already gathering and have that focus on SCADA. As you know, we are the cybersecurity leaders, and we do a great job around SCADA, but that's not all we do every day.
Yeah.
We are a lot broader than that. So having a third party that only focuses on SCADA and control systems, having an application that can leverage our sensors and enforcement points, it's a great combination.
Yeah.
Because then you have the really expert on SCADA and ICS, focusing on what they need to do, like identifying all the specific machines around those environments. They know exactly what is normal and what is not.
Yeah.
For
it's every quite data rich too, yeah.
Correct. So we provide all the data, but they know exactly what to do with that data. They know exactly this type of device should talk to that one, but not to this other one. This is normal. This should happen once a year or maybe every 6 months. This should never happen. So leveraging that is really the best approach. Now, you can take that to many other verticals. Education, for example. Yeah. Education have very specific requirements as well that most other customers will not have. So being able, again, to leverage that same data makes a lot of sense.
Well, we could definitely talk about that all day, or this about all day, and it is a big topic, and it's data science is one of those. It will continue to emerge. It's becoming a science and an approach in itself, but it's fascinating. We'll have more information on the blurb for for the podcast as well. But we've been joined by Mauricio Sabana, the Systems Engineer Manager for the ANZ region for Palo Alto Networks. Mauricio, thanks, or Mo. Thanks for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thank you, Chris.
Good on you.